Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
All right, welcome back to Good Cop, Bad Cop, episode 179. My loyal co-host, I have missed you so much. How you've been in Florida? We were in the same country and we didn't really talk at all. We haven't really talked much since you've come back either. So I am dying more than normal to know how your week has been, and your last month, pretty much.
Cut the bullshit. I heard you last week.
You listened in? I thought you were too busy
three times
with Mickey Mouse and getting brain freezers. I didn't think you'd have time to listen in.
Okay, first of all, I got two pictures with Mickey Mouse. Okay, First thing. Second thing, Chris took the brain freeze pictures, not me. Thirdly, I listened to the show three times, make sure I had everything digested.
Oof. Now, you don't listen at, like, times three or anything. You just listen at regular speed, right?
Mm-hmm. So that was 6 hours. Well, yeah. Getting on for two shifts at work.
It would have been 6 hours. I make 6 hours for the first episode you missed, and then 7.5 hours for the last one you missed. I know we went over 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it was good. It was good listening, and there were some good points brought up. Mm-hmm. I can't believe you let the toxic one on without me being here. But, you know, so it is what it is, Graham. But
the toxic one asked, and I thought it would be impolite not to, so.
Yeah, that's fair. Anyway, enough about me, Graham. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing perfectly well. Now, there is some business we've got to finish up, though, because I actually made a big mistake. I know you listened, because you actually corrected me. So when I introduced Ryan last week, the Hall of Famer, I better make sure I give him his full
title. The first Hall of Famer.
Yeah, we've still got some legal ramifications going on, so I don't want to upset him too much, litigation being what it is in this country. I introduced him as being the first two-time consecutive guest, and that was not correct, was it, Matt?
It was incorrect. The first person who did back-to-back shows as a guest host on Good Cop, Bad Cop was, of course, another Hall of Famer, which, of course, is Mags.
Who? Because we are going to invite our supposed guest this week back on again next week. Unfortunately, he's not feeling very well. His voice is not as good as it needs to be. So we've already rescheduled that for next week.
Get well soon.
Yeah, we're keeping the Hall of Famers going. So, yeah, you can set the record straight. I apologize to you, Darren. That was a big faux pas on my part.
As well, you should apologize. And Ryan, you valor-stealing SOB, how dare you? How dare you try and take my name out of the record books?
Absolutely, Graham. And I actually had it in my head of a shirt I want made for Mag as merch on Techers. Ben Viney.
Well, as we're doing corrections, I think there might be a second correction then as well, because the reason I'd missed the consecutive episodes, Darren, it was last year or probably a year and a half ago when I was just unavailable. I just couldn't physically do it with all my workload, and you stepped in and helped with Matt, and I'd forgotten those episodes because I just wasn't involved in those episodes. Now, the reason I think there's a second correction is, and I know we'll get a tweet if I'm wrong on this one as well, I introduced our other guest as having the most number of appearances on Good Cop, Bad Cop. Now, considering I'd forgotten those two from Darren, and also when we went back and listened, you were a guest around episode 21, I think it was. It was around Christmas 2019. And you also appeared on episode 50, because we actually mixed up the Devil's Advocate format. Instead of me giving them to Matt and vice versa, we both gave them to you to a do. And then we voted on it that way. So there's an extra appearance. And if we include today's appearance, then sorry, Micah, I don't think you are the guest that's appeared most on Good Cop, Bad Cop either. So you get to upset two people for the price of one today, Darren. So that's even better.
It's not upsetting. It's setting the record straight. I am the most good cop, bad cop of all of the guests.
That is a kablam moment right there.
Yeah, that's a double kablam.
A
We don't normally take any of the video from this at all. We normally just take the audio from it. But the celebration there, we might have to at least take a screenshot of that one. That was, I think we need to see Mike. I think we at least let Mike know your celebration of realizing that you are officially in the record books as the person who has appeared on the most consecutive episodes and also the most appeared guest as well. So always good to set the record straight on things like this. Now, Darren, we normally ask at this point for our guests to tell us about their podcast. Now, that would obviously be impossible for you because there's so many. So can I pick one specific one, okay? Can you tell us about probably the one that, obviously with this being wrestling, we'll go outside the wrestling one. Can you tell us a little bit about the Five Rounds podcast, where we can find it, what it's about, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, certainly can. So Five Rounds started essentially pretty much after I got into podcasting with Why We Watch. It was a way for me and my son to kind of share our joint love of MMA. And it's actually now the longest running show that I've got by a hell of a long way. So what we do is we cover the weekly UFC events. When there's not a UFC on, we kind of have like news and some analysis between me, Carlos, and sometimes we've had a guest on the show. You can usually find that pretty much straight away after the events on the Radio Techers YouTube feed, and then it usually drops midweek on Visionaries Global Media, on Chairshot, and on the Radio Techers audio feed for anybody who wants to listen. So yeah, if you're into MMA, definitely come and check it out.
There was another reason for me mentioning that one as well, and you've just hinted on it there as well, the generational thing. Father and Son podcast. So obviously as part of the MGB Wrestling podcast as well, it seemed like an obvious one that I would want to mention as well. Matt, unless you've got anything else, I'm going to suggest we head into some good cop moments.
Why don't we, Graham? Let's talk about this week.
There might have been a little bottle of wine.
There might have been a little spoiler on Twitter as to one of my moments. I know Matt is excited to hear about this in a little more detail. So yeah, let's get to those moments.
The mute button is ready.
Hello, everybody. This is Micah from the Devoid brand. Now, we aren't just a wrestling podcast. We also have the titular, specifically Devoid podcast, our game show that's sweeping across the globe, Devoid Entertainment, and many other select programming you can only find on specifically Devoid. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, specifically Devoid, and follow us on Twitter at Devoid Podcast. That's capital D, capital P, to stay up to date on all things Devoid. I've been me, you've been you, and we'll see you later.
Good. All right, guests always get to go first on this, so Hall of Famer. Go ahead, Mags, what you got for us, your main good cop moment of the week?
I mean, there's been one huge positive piece of news out this week, and it's the return of Jon Moxley. After spending a little bit of time away from the wrestling world to deal with his inner demons, he came back kicking and screaming this week on AEW Dynamite with a really heartfelt promo, really kind of underlying just what the world of wrestling meant to him and how it dragged him through his days as suffering with his demons. There was a little bit of a bad cop in that with a certain douchebag out of the crowd shouting something pretty horrific, but I believe they got dealt with quite swiftly and banned for life from all the AEW events. So again, that to me is a positive. Getting those kind of people out of wrestling for me is something that we really need to do. But yeah, for me, that's been the highlight of the week, seeing someone with the passion of Jon Moxley coming back to wrestling and looking like he's in as good a shape as he's ever been in.
Matt, have you been watching any AEW this week?
Jon Moxley's return this week was emotional and it was truly heartwarming to see. I was extremely happy to see him back on TV, and he looked 10 years younger.
Yeah,
he looks 10 years younger, and hopefully this will help boost forward, and hopefully he can keep those demons firmly behind him. Again, as Mag said, great that they threw the guy out. I wish they hadn't censored him on TV. I wish they actually would have said that, because I would have personally, because that's what everyone else was thinking, when he was shouting at Mox, like, fuck off. It's not your show.
So okay, I've heard the uncensored episode, and yeah, he I mean, even if it wasn't AEW, even if it wasn't Mox shouting, what he shouted was ridiculous, and the fans turned on him instantly.
I'm not going to ask you to say what it was, Mags, but was it how bad was it?
You can say. I don't think there's a reason to censor it now.
He is Mox essentially is in the ring doing his kind of like the way he walks and struts around the ring, and then as the crowd are going silent for Mox to start speaking, the guy in the crowd says, "Get this drunken piece of shit out of my ring." The crowd absolutely rip into him, and Mox says, "Why don't you get that piece of fucking shit out of this arena?" And the security dude.
Mox was right to say what he said there, and I've had my issues with AEW production wise over the years, obviously. Mainly it's from a production point of view. Stuff in the ring is usually great. It's the production stuff I had a problem with, but the way this was dealt with was very, very well done. And props to AEW for kicking the guy out very quickly and banned for life, as you say. So very good.
Now, we don't really do Unsure Cop moments anymore. We used to. One of the Unsure Cop moments I would have had if we were doing it was actually, what did that person say? Because on Twitter, when they played the clip, I was struggling. I was like, I was trying to listen, and I could catch the end of it. He definitely said, "Get this piece of garbage out of here." That was definitely the end. There's no doubt about it. He said that. But it was, what did he say before that? And I've heard varying reports, and what you said there was slightly different from what I've heard from other people as well. Some people said that they made a comment about, "Get this drunk out of here." Other people said it was like, he said, "Tell him to go get a drink and get this piece of garbage out of here." Somebody else said it was, "Get this garbage truck in here and then get that piece of garbage out of here." So there was like several different things that people were saying, but whatever they were saying, it was, to be honest, it actually improved the promo, because it actually started it off with a real bang. It gave Mox the chance to improvise, drop that F-bomb in there. Mm-hmm. It really helped his message. It was definitely that. In case people aren't aware, I was actually at that event, so we could hear it. Mason could hear
it. Really, Graham? You haven't mentioned it.
I know. I've been pretty quiet about that on social media this week. And I actually had a friend, a former student, actually, who was in the crowd, only about two, because I said, "You must have been close." And she said she was two sections away. And I did ask, I was like, "Did that person actually get ejected or not?" And she said that she couldn't see. And I'd been kind of looking around for it. And to throw in another Unsure Cop moment, and this is really me being a little cynical and having watched wrestling for far too long, I actually wondered if that person was a plant. Now, the reason I was wondering that is AEW has some history for that as well. Remember the fan who threw some water over MJF? Mm-hmm. And all the local people in this area knew straight away that was actually the wrestler Alan Angels, who actually is appearing on AEW now. So they have put people in the crowd to kind of get that reaction, to kind of make things go in the direction they wanted. So I did actually wonder if that was something that was true for that. But if there is evidence now that he's been banned for life and he was ejected, then I guess that's not true. But it was something that did go through my mind for sure.
Okay.
All right. I guess you're up, Matt.
Right. Okay. It's story time with a magnificent one. Okay. So imagine a normal day. Okay. A normal day with a long day at work. You need to get home.
Is this
home.
A normal day for us or a normal day for you?
I'm being generic, Graham.
Oh, okay. I'm just trying to. As I'm trying to put myself in the mood for this, I'm trying to figure out if I should have some like microwaves dinging in the background, or if I should just think of like school children in the background. I'm trying to figure out which context we're going for right now.
Brilliant.
He can't see me on the camera, but my God, I want to rip him a new one.
Oh, what a shame. I can't see him.
Anyway, imagine you've had a long day at the office, okay? And you've got to get the bus home, and you make your way down to the bus, and, you know, it's a cold, cold Preston night.
Mm-hmm.
I think Graham knows where I'm going with
this. I know exactly where you're going from, because we have a mutual friend on Facebook.
And you are queuing up. I actually saw it before, with a mutual friend on Facebook as well, Graham. I saw it before this, because I knew this was happening. Didn't know it was going to spill out of the street. PCW, formerly known as Preston Championship Wrestling, now known as Pro Championship Wrestling, had one of their fights spill out onto the street and have a fourth count anywhere match in the street at the bus stop. But they had the referee come past, the bloke with a championship walking running past. It was insane. Jack Morris and Sheik El Sham. It was fantastic. Seeing, you don't see this in UK promotions on a regular basis, the wrestling falling out into the street and being legit. It was an amazing little bit we see in the clip. But we in the UK are going to see more of it, Graham, because it was being filmed for Sky TV. And it's going to be on Sky on 24th of January, 9 p.m. So it's already set to record on my Skybox. I should be reviewing it in full next week, sir.
Cool. I did actually ask. I haven't had a response yet because it's at the time of recording, it was literally only probably an hour or two after I made the comment. I did ask Franco Varga if he was familiar with the two wrestlers involved. I didn't recognize the wrestlers because I didn't see that in the caption, because our mutual friend obviously is not a wrestling fan, but they just happened to live in Preston. And I know last year he was over in Preston, so I was like, it's got to be the same organization. I can't imagine Preston having two wrestling organizations. But I was curious if he was, well, I thought it was possible he might not have even heard about this at all. Obviously, being in America, it's news from Preston doesn't easily get across the ocean like that. But yeah, slamming him into vending machines and people on their commute just trying to get out of the way. There was a couple of referees, thankfully, so one could kind of guide people, hey, like, you might want to move out of the way a little bit. And then there was one who could actually try and do the counts and stuff. But yeah, great entertainment. You would remember that. You'd remember that commute home for sure.
Brilliant. Matt, did you get a chance to see it?
I haven't. I really haven't, but I'll definitely be checking it out. Sounds like it was an absolute ball. Very reminiscent of the old WWF Attitude Era days when they had Al Snow and Bob Holly essentially wrestling in a river. So
yes.
Seems like it'll be pretty cool to watch.
The show was called Before the Glory, and it was they had limited tickets available last night as we're recording it at the Riva Show Bar in Preston. The main event, I'm not sure what main event was. They had Priscilla versus Big T as well. They had so Sheik El Sham was defending his championship against Jack Morris. You had Death Row versus Logan Smith and John Tretton. You had Rossi Rascal versus Jack Johnson, and you had Jackson Arrow versus Franco Varga.
Oh, Franco's over there right now.
No, but you were paying attention at least.
Oh, okay.
Jackson's turned heel, to be fair, now. I just wanted to throw that in there.
Okay, fair enough. For my good cop moment, it was actually what you had, Darren, as of 24 hours ago. Being there, it kind of, I think it resonated with a lot of people in the crowd. The fact that it was a very relatable speech, and I think it's one that will, it's not one that we're going to forget quickly, and I think it one will be played probably for a few more years, and I think it definitely stuck with people. And great to see him back as well, and people in DC were very excited to see him back, and obviously, like you said as well, Matt, looking very healthy as well. He looked in good shape. It was great to see. Seeing him coming through the crowd, all those things, it was awesome to see. Until last night, and I was like, okay, this is why I have so few notes prepared. Obviously, being there, this is one I can literally, I don't need facts or anything. This is more of a personal experience, and that's kind of my good cop moment. It was Mason's birthday on Thursday, so his original present was, like, you got tickets to Dynamite, and we had lower level, but they were about six rows back. I thought it was at the Capital One Arena to begin with. I didn't even notice that when I bought the tickets. It wasn't. It was at a much smaller stadium where the women's NBA team plays, so it's only a 4,000 capacity, so you're close. Like, wherever you were probably closer than what you would be at the Capital One Arena. And I only bought tickets for one night. The reason I bought tickets for one night was, on the Wednesday, I was like, it's going to be kind of late, it's a school night, I'm just going to take Mason. For Friday, though, when it's not a school night, I want to bring Jackson in as well. And the tickets were a little pricey, and I said, look, we're just going to wait, we'll see what happens, and if I can find something, we'll get them. And I guess if not, not. And as it was, I after the current interview I just did with Ben Bishop, I was looking to see how much tickets were. I was like, oh, it's been like a week since I looked. Let me have a quick look. Floor seats row C, cheaper than the seats that I'd actually bought for Dynamite. And wow, this was something I really wanted to, like, I've never been floor before. I looked for Mason for his birthday, because I was like, oh, for his birthday, I was like, that'd be really cool. They were hundreds of dollars. I think if you wanted to sit front row, you were looking like $4,000 or $5,000. It was ridiculous. I'm like, this isn't, I'm sorry. Like, I'd like to be able to afford that, but I was like, no, I can't do it. So, yeah, we got floor seats, and that was kind of what I wanted to do for his present. I didn't want to buy him something physical. I didn't want to buy him a gift, as in something that he could touch. I wanted to give him an experience. I think that was kind of the thing. And boy, did we get an experience. Three rows back, it is phenomenal. The hardest thing is going to be now. I'm going to an event tonight. That's going to be a real come down from that, being so close to all those pro athletes. Normally when we see them at Capital One Arena, I'm not going to say they're dots, but you can't see facial features. You can't see the reactions as they're being put in. All those things just made for an awesome experience. Good card, lots of indie people on the card, which is always good to see. We did get to see people like you've interviewed, Matt, Logan Leroux was there. Dropped the Eastern, I'm not quite sure why that got dropped by AEW, but yeah, a lot of local people we got to see, so we enjoyed those matches. The card for Dynamite was awesome. We already talked about Moxley, but got to see all the people we wanted to see as well. Punk was there, Sting was there. Like, it kind of checked. I had a kind of list in my head of people I wanted to see. Like, Thunder Rosa was there as well. Ruby Riott was there as well. Sorry, Ruby Soho was there. So it kind of checked all the boxes even before we got to Friday. So Friday, we really did enjoy the show, but the highlight right at the end, Tony comes out at the start, does his little speech, thanks everybody for coming, and he says, hey, stay around at the end, I'm going to come back and thank you all personally again. And he did. And he said that he had a friend with him who he wanted to bring out to talk to us. Now, on the Wednesday show, it was actually Sanjay Dutt and Sting stayed in the ring. Sanjay Dutt's a local wrestler. He's from this area, so they kept him in. And, yeah, that was what it was. So we weren't quite sure who it was going to be. And CM Punk's music played again. CM Punk came out, chatted with us for about 5 to 10 minutes, all good fun. And then right at the end, as he's about to leave, he goes around and starts high-fiving people on the front row. And we're like, oh, that's kind of cool. He's going to give a few people a high-five. And then suddenly we realize, oh, shoot, he's coming all the way round. So I'm pushing Mason out from third row. I was like, get up there. Just go get a high five quick while you can. And it happened so quick, I didn't even get a chance to get a proper picture. Like, by the time my phone's out, I got camera on, I managed to get a picture of them in the same shot, but he'd already left. The look on his face, though, when he came back, he was like elated that he'd got to touch CM Punk and give him a high five. And then I was like, well, shoot, if you got that, I was like, why don't I try and get that as well? I was like, I can see if that. So I was like, he'd already passed us at this point. So we left our row, went behind, went to the other side of the ring, and there was space, but there was a row of chairs. So I just half stepped over this chair, couldn't quite get to the front. Waited. He's taking pictures with people as well. I managed to extend my fist out, and I got a fist bump from CM Punk. Mason managed to capture it beautifully, and I was a total mark. I was like, I listened to the video, and it was like, yes! Like, I was so excited. And when we both came back, that's all we talked about in the car. So it was supposed to be, the good cop moment was supposed to be that he got to sit third row on the floor, but it just happened because we had to get those seats. We got to get a fist bump from CM Punk. And what made it even sweeter was I knew I could post that on Matt. So it was the first thing he saw on his phone when he woke up this morning.
Are you done?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. Phil Brooks gave me a high five. I'm sorry.
I had my headphones on for most of your good cop moments, sir, so I didn't know what the hell you're talking about, to be honest.
So to give you the footnotes, he essentially went to AEW, got really good seats, and then got to half and fist bump CM Punk. A good day was had by all. That's actually awesome. I mean, I've made it clear that Punk has blocked me on Twitter. No idea why, but that is cool. That is absolutely cool. Even as a I'm not even a Punk hater. I just don't have any kind of like affection for him in terms of wrestling. I was out of wrestling when he became huge. But that is a cool moment, a really cool moment. So yeah, that's a great one, Graham.
That's something that 14-year-old is not going to forget for a long time. It was something, I think what made it sweeter was it was unexpected. Like, if you buy a meet and greet, like, you know, you're going to get to that opportunity. We didn't expect that opportunity as well. Even if that hadn't have happened, we would have been talking about those two events for a long time. We had an absolute blast, and it took me back as a kid. I felt like the kid again. I had a great time there. I loved wrestling. Matt, you obviously know I love live wrestling and going to those events. But the whole time, it was like Mason kept going, oh, my gosh, look how much time's gone. Time's going really quick. It was. You know that sensation when you're enjoying yourself? Like, you just go so quick. It did. It flew by. That particular the Rampage, Tony Khan comes on and says it's the quickest hour in time. Oh, it went over so quick.
And that was good. And it's the fact it's not even being taped, so they're going out of their way to do stuff like this. With them being like essentially the second biggest wrestling company in the world right now, they really don't have to do stuff like that. Those wrestlers could easily be backstage or going on to the next town or doing whatever. But yeah, that's awesome. That's really, really awesome. And that's what'll keep someone like Mason a fan for a hell of a long time because of experiences like that.
Yeah, they could have brought out Eddie Midcarter.
Hold on. Y'all shut up for just 1 minute, please. If those listening do not know, my name is Ryan. I am the host of The Blade Job and your Hall of Famer, and I just want to let everyone know that I am now the first and only guest to make 3 consecutive appearances on Good Cop, Bad Cop. So, Mags, as James Storm would say.
My show, bitch. I'm back. You're muted.
Wow.
You muted him. You muted a Hall of Famer. Wow.
That son of a bitch, Matt Willis. You're on
Carol
the list.
Baskin.
You are on the list. But you know what? You can't take this away from me now. I'm the only one. Well, I'm the original. I'm the first.
Fine, Max next isn't week the first. We can.
Yeah, I mean, they just edit it. This part didn't happen.
This part totally happened. Hold on a second.
I can't believe you're fucking stealing Valor again 2 weeks in a row. You absolute scumbag. You are in the Sergeant Slaughter of wrestling podcasters. How dare you?
I am. But I also did want to stop by and say, gentlemen, I hope you're having a wonderful show. And
we
I hope
were,
the people listening.
We were until about 4 minutes ago.
I hope the people listening are not too upset about my intrusion, but I just felt like there was something wrong about finding out that Mr. Darren Podfather Mags himself was before me in doing something. I can't let that stand.
You'll also have to listen to the beginning of the show to find out that I actually broke another record as well. But I'm not going to tell you about that, so you can't ruin it.
Graham, do you have anything for me? Or should I just come back next week and ruin his day? You know what? It's fine. I will see you boys next week. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of this off the air. Mags, wonderful. Matt, thank you. Welcome back. To all listeners out there, Good Cop, Bad Cop, follow them on Twitter at Good Bad Wrestle. And don't forget to follow me at the Matt Attack UK or whatever it is these days. So, gentlemen, enjoy the show. And Graham, thanks for giving the good idea.
I was just going to apologize to the others for having such lack security. I don't know what happened there at all. But
yeah. Graham, you created it. You can't lock it, Graham. You created it. I couldn't tell you about that.
It became an idea when I saw Darren's response that he was going to rip into Ryan. I was like, well, it'd be kind of funny if Ryan actually set the record. He was on board immediately. He said, the only rule is you can't tell them ahead of time. I was like, oh, I'm not telling them ahead of time. I said, just drop in
around.
I
feel I've been brought onto this show under false pretenses now.
I've now got a list of middle fingers come my way in a group chat. Fantastic.
I thought it would be amusing, and I'd lost track of time. I said, don't tell me when you, because he's like, let me know. I was like, no, just drop in every time you like, around 2 o'clock. And I said, we should be in the middle of Good Cop moments. And as it was in the middle of my moments, so that was that worked just fine. Oh, fun times. All right, I think Matt wants to talk any more about CM Punk anyway. So I propose that we move on to our speed check round. So 90 seconds. It's changed a little bit since you were last here, Darren. So you got 90 seconds. If there is anything else this week that you would consider a good cop moment.
No. The reason why is because it's been a pretty bad week for in terms of wrestling news. I'm sure when we get to the bad cop moments, we'll have a lot more topics to cover. But yeah, it's a shame because we need more good news in wrestling. I thought with 2022 coming around, we may have had the opportunity of the kind of wrestling world resetting. But it just seems to be that it's the same old thing. WWE being WWE, AEW and Tony Khan being AEW and Tony Khan. So yeah, it's been a lackluster week for good stories in wrestling. So I haven't. I hope that filled the 90 seconds though.
Ryan will get to keep one more record then, the longest segment ever for Good Cop. I think we ran over an hour last week. It was like never ended.
1 hour. Like,
are we still only on speed minutes. Check?
1 hour 15 minutes, Graham.
And I think I let my guests go a little longer than 90 seconds as well, if I remember. I'm not sure, Matt. I'm sure you'll be able to clarify.
You didn't on Bad Cop. Right.
Oh no, we didn't. We're obviously a positive podcast, so we were trying to focus on the positives. All right, Matt, you got 90 seconds to make up for all the time you missed in the last 3 weeks. Go.
With that in mind, Graham, I'm going to Impact. I'm going to put into one side the amazing pay per view they put on a few weeks ago. I'm going to BTI before the Impact, of course, which was Jordynne Grace vs Lady Frost for the Impact Digital Media Championship. What a match. If you have not watched it, go out of your way to watch it. It's the longest match I've seen Lady Frost have on television, mainly because she did the entire match and then jobbed at the end when she was on Dark. She was actually up against Jordynne Grace, who's pound for pound the best women's wrestler on the planet. They had a great match, went back and forth. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Seth Rollins, name-dropping Mox. On SmackDown, not Ambrose, Mox. Is there something happening here? Aside from Terry Wrestling, I think so. And of course, the last thing to talk about in Good Cop Moments this week, of course, is that next Saturday, of course, is the Royal Rumble, which means, of course, that for the first time ever, I'm hosting a Royal Rumble watch along over on Techers, and you're all welcome to join us.
Oh, very nice. Darren, I don't think it would be appropriate if I didn't ask you. Do you want to counteract a size point? I know you like to do that on a regular basis on Mondays. Are you going to agree with Si, or are you going to disagree with Si?
About Mox being in the Rumble.
That seems to be what he was suggesting.
I don't think it'll happen. It'd be cool if it did. I know that WWE have been kind of like teasing the opening of the Forbidden Door with mentioning Impact and now mentioning Mox and Mickie James being on in the Rumble. But if there's going to be cross promotion between AEW and WWE, it's a long way down the road yet. This is very much baby steps. So it'd be cool if it did, but it will not happen.
I think it's, yeah, I'm going 0%. I just do not think it.
I agree. So I can definitely agree. I don't think John Mox is going to the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. I don't really need the 90 seconds either. I got a couple of things I want to talk about the AEW events. One was I had a potential bad cop moment. I did lose my iPod at the event on Wednesday. I thought I'd actually left it with security. When you go through the scanner, like, first of all, it started bing. So I went back and I was like, oh, shoot, I got my iPod in my pocket. Put it in the tray. We had tickets to hold to prove we'd been tested. We'd have our COVID vaccines, all this stuff. I had a lot of stuff and then didn't think about it during the event. Didn't think about it on the way home. And then suddenly I was like, I don't have it. Went to guest services and I said, I lost an iPod. And they're like, oh, with a blue case. And I was like, oh, thank God. So somebody was actually good enough to hand in my iPod. So that was good. And the other good thing was the precautions that people took there. We, like I said, we had to show proof of vaccination. We had to wear a mask at all times. And boy, were they strict on that. One person who was next to us, they were like, sir, you need to put your mask up. And he's like, I'm having a drink. And he's like, once you finish your drink, you need to put your mask back on again. So they were not messing around with that at all. They were going into the crowd, stepping through people and sorting people out. So it was good. You want to keep things as safe as possible. And I really did think that they made a good attempt to do that to the best of their abilities. So
that's important. I'm more shocked that people still have iPods.
I had to do it because my phone only has a 64 gigabyte memory, and this has a 256, and it's nearly full already. I'm a big collector of music and comedy and a lot of different things. So
I found that. Have you never heard of Spotify?
I don't like that.
Stream it.
I like my own playlists.
You can make them on Spotify.
You just heard that I have 256 gigabytes worth of stuff. How many songs do you think that is, Matt? Like 100 or something? I have like 20,000 tracks probably on here.
On one playlist?
So trying to organize those. I have them organized so I know when I last listened to one so I can make sure I got a nice rotation going on. Not all some of those tracks you probably can't even get on Spotify either. But yeah, I don't want to program it in. That's why I create my playlists. It's already done. It saves battery on my phone. That's the reason why I've got two separate devices as well. So I didn't want it running down my phone when I can just do it on this. Eventually I will go to one device, but right now I do like my iPod.
I felt old.
I thought I felt old
when you mentioned Mason's 14 now for a start. Okay, for the first part. For the second part, now I do feel old because you mentioned you still got an iPod, granddad, and use it for music still. The third part is, I actually can relate, Graham, a little bit to the whole mask thing. He's worn it off now.
Okay, keep talking.
Okay, fine. The whole mask thing, the vaccination status thing, because having just come back from Disney, they are so on it. Mm-hmm. You'll not believe. They won't start an event there. They won't start. If you're in the queues, you have to wear your mask. If you are in a restaurant, you have to wear a mask if you're not eating. It is ridiculous how sensitive they are about it. I don't think I told you this, Graham, but we went to Chicken Guy at Disney Springs, and this woman, she might have been 5 foot flat.
Okay.
And there was these guys, it's like a 25-minute queue to get in, just to order. There were two different people in the queues. They might have been 6'3", 6'4", different times. And they're sort of like looming over her. They weren't wearing masks, and she was not letting them in.
Good.
They're not letting them in. You're not coming in without a mask. You're not coming in without a mask. And I would put a mobile order and pick it up. And you can't come in without a mask. Go down to Starbucks, $2, come back, queue up again. They were not happy. But they were so careful about it. Because let's face it, in Florida, if anyone's going to get sued for catching COVID at a theme park, it's going to be Disney, because they've got the money. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although, very interestingly, Universal only changed their policy the day after we actually got to America to wear masks. Interestingly enough.
The reason I disappeared, Matt, is I'm guessing, I thought I'd mentioned it on the podcast before, but perhaps not, or I mentioned it on the 2 weeks you're away. Perhaps I didn't tell you about what I bought for Christmas.
I don't know if you can't see.
A Walkman. And I got myself some tapes as well so I can play on my Walkman. Feel old now?
It's a bad compliment right there, Graham. They weren't cost effective in the 90s, let alone in 2022.
I hope you got Walkman about 1,000 AA batteries to run it.
Oh, it's not. It doesn't run on that. I don't think it's got. I'm not even sure it has batteries. I think it's. I think it was charged. You charge it through the USB port now. It's a little different. They've updated.
It doesn't even have batteries. But it's not a Walkman, is it?
How is that not a Walkman? The definition of a Walkman is it has batteries. You're an idiot.
Nah.
It's a proven.
That's true.
It's a proven many times, Graham. Proven many times. What's your point?
Well, the tapes are cost effective now because nobody else wants them. So I managed to get quite a few from the charity store pretty cheap.
Fair enough, Graham.
Anyway, well, since you've already mentioned it as a bad cop moment, perhaps we should get to the more pertinent bad cop moments.
Indeed.
All right, we'll keep the same order going. This segment might be a little juicy from comments that you made earlier, Darren. So let's start off with your main bad cop moment of the week, then.
Well, I've got a feeling I know what at least one of your twos is going to be, so I'm going to leave that to Rad. I'm going to go with some news that I think came out earlier on today. Leo Rush has announced that he's leaving AEW when his contract expires in the middle of February. He said that there's him and there's quite a few AEW talents whose contracts are coming up who may not get their contracts extended. It's just all very interesting, the timing of Leo Rush's contract coming up. Apparently it was only a 5-month deal, which is pretty unheard of for these big wrestling companies, but it's more pertinent that he was one of the very few AEW employees to come out to defend Big Swole after she left the company and said some criticisms about the about AEW as a company in terms of how they're pushing people of color and how the diversity is just not there yet. Tony Khan got on his defensive high horse and kind of instead of taking it on the chin and being the professional owner of a company that he should be, he took it as a personal slight and really kind of laid into Big Swole, saying that she didn't get renewed because she's not a good wrestler, which is a horrific way of talking about the talent. But like I said, Leo Rush was one of those people who came out and defended her and said that Tony should be given an apology. Kind of backtracked on it about a week or so later on, saying that he'd had positive talks with Tony and he's now kind of on board with the mentality at AEW. And then a month later, he's then leaving the company again. I mean, I know he's a guy who has form for leaving companies and kind of, I think he's retired about 11 times maybe in his career.
I mean, throw retired less.
Yeah, but it's the timing of him leaving the company after being heavily involved in one of the very few kind of big storylines or big news stories to come out of AEW where the wrestlers are showing that they're maybe not happy there under AEW and under Tony Khan. So yeah, I thought that was an interesting story to come out over the last day or so.
I would have been more surprised if he'd have renewed his contract, to be honest. He's not really appeared on the TV show much. That predates the comments that he made. Obviously, the comments that he made obviously predates the contract that he signed. So obviously, his contract would have ended on February 14th, whether he would have said anything or not said anything. So I think it's one of those things where I'm happier that at least AEW, when people are being released, it's at the end of their contracts and not in the middle of their contracts. Mm-hmm. So Tony Khan could easily have gone with along a Vince line. When we've heard stories before from things happening backstage that have upset people, it's like, all right, you're gone, get out of here. Which obviously the owners are perfectly entitled to do as well. If there's somebody causing problems backstage, you can have the right to get rid of them. I'm not saying Leo was causing problems, but I'm saying people have certainly ended contracts for disagreements with senior management, whether they're right or wrong, because senior management has the final say. So Tony Khan certainly didn't do that. But yeah, Leo, I don't think it was a big surprise. For me, it wasn't a big surprise. I'm liking the fact that he is putting that word out there. He's obviously not retiring. He wants to continue wrestling. And why not put that message out now? You're not going to, they don't have that 90-day no clause or anything like WWE does. Like, you got to wait. As soon as you're done, you can get out there and get back on the indie scene. So I certainly like that side of it. But yeah, it would have been interesting to see if it would have been a little further away. If his contract was for six more months or so, what would have actually happened? Would he have let that contract ride out for 6 months, or would something have happened earlier?
Objection, Your Honor. We don't know if there's no 90-day complete clause in AEW contract, because he'd never fired somebody yet.
Well, no, from being a free agent. Once he becomes a free agent, he's free.
WWE's the same thing, though. Brian's contract right now, he could go where he wanted. Same thing for Adam Cole. Literally, that next week he was on AEW. If someone's contract expires, then they can do what they like. Obviously they can. But we don't know if that's in AEW contract or not, the 90-day release with no compete clause, because he's never released somebody before the contract expired.
You're right. I hate to admit it. You're right.
That will come, though. I mean, with a wrestling company...
It will. It has to.
With the way wrestlers are and with the way Tony Khan kind of takes umbrage personally, it is going to happen that he ends up releasing somebody. And I'm sure with this being Leo Rush, who's never been somebody to kind of shy away from telling it as it is, he really kind of does wear his heart on his sleeve in terms of the wrestling business. And I'm sure we will get we'll get more news about why this has happened in the upcoming weeks. But yeah, it's just a shame because he's a massively talented wrestler. It just seems that trouble always follows him, whether that's his own fault or whether that's him doing the right thing and sticking up for people of color and getting lambasted for it. But yeah, it's not a good look for AEW.
I'm going to continue going on this because you stoked the fire now, so it's coming out. I've only had 2 weeks off. Graham rolling his eyes there as well, but it's a fact.
I'm just wondering if you're using this and then you're going to say, and then my good cop, my bad cop moment. So is this, are you just still talking or is this your
bad? This is not my bad cop moment. This is me continuing. This is about Tony Khan in general. The fact that he had to go and press the flesh, as it were, before and after Rampage to make people like him, remember a certain Barney-haired politician at the moment in the UK who had to go and try and kiss ass a bit to try and make people like him again. The fact of the matter is that Tony Khan sometimes needs his phone taken away from him. Wouldn't you agree?
Go ahead, keep giving me, convince me more.
We've seen multiple times some of the very bizarre texts that he sends out when, shall we say, some people have alleged that he's enjoyed a certain substance beforehand. I'm just going to leave it there for legal reasons, but there is a lot of people out there who would say that he certainly, he'd be on the Jaeger train, for lack of a better term in the UK, Greg.
Okay, I get you.
Sometimes he says things about, he tweets things before he thinks about it.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that Vince, the amount of people who say amount of stuff about Vince online, and sometimes rightly, because Vince is an arsehole. I admit that, Vince McMahon is a fucking arsehole. Mm-hmm. If he applied to everybody the way that Tony Khan does sometimes, you know, it just sometimes I'm thinking like, Tony, you don't have to apply to everybody individually.
Matt, the reason I couldn't really answer your question was I was a little distracted because I was actually looking something up at that time. So I was kind of curious to see how many matches had Leo Rush had with AEW in the last year. So I was actually trying to add those up while you were talking. So I couldn't really. Do you want to make any guesses, guys?
4.
That's all I counted. I was scrolling through so much at times. So it's not really a big surprise that Leo Rush didn't get re-signed. If you're only using somebody 4 times in the last year, and it's not because he was injured for that whole time either. I saw like at least 50 matches within the last year. So he was being used very little. Now, of course, you don't have to just wrestle to be valuable to a company. You can also be the manager, you can also be the valet, you can be all those different things, the voice of whatever, but he certainly wasn't getting used at all, so I'm not surprised that
he was in that kind of like that storyline with Dante Martin and Team Taz where Dante joined Team Taz, turned on Leo, and then it all ended up being a ruse like a week later. It meant absolutely no sense. And yeah, I don't think he's been on any TV since, what, December, I think. So
it was, and I was trying to figure that as well, like, when did Swole leave? I think his last appearance was, I guess it was before that. He was not really appearing on TV before that kind of happened anyway. I don't think he's not been appearing on TV because of the comments. He just wasn't appearing on TV anyway, so.
Yeah.
It does sound long when Mag says it's December. Let's not forget that that was only 3 weeks ago.
It was early December.
I think it was early December.
December was only like last month, so it's not like he had been on TV for a year, Kurt Hawkins at one point had been, or Bo Dallas, another one, for example.
4 matches in a year when you have 4 different shows is not particularly impressive.
This is going to lead on to one of my speech at moments later, Graham, but anyway. Okay, but my main bad cop moment, Graham, is again the IWC, unfortunately. Mainly because, and stick with me, Graham, because there's a point to this. I need to talk about WWE 2K2022.
Okay.
Which is releasing on March 11th. Rey Mysterio is the cover star. It looks like they fixed the issues and it's going to be a good game. I'll play it and I'll let you know, Graham, so you don't worry about that, okay? That's fine. Game Dungeon to look after that and take care of it. The problem is the IWC around all of this. Some people were surprised he was still around. And there were some people legitimately on the IGN Twitter announcement feed thought that he had died. And not just what? Died recently, as in 7 years ago.
What?
He's been in WWE games since then.
He has been in 27... Since 1997, he's been in 27 video games.
Yeah.
But, to be fair, and I've checked this, if you Google the words, and the exact words, Rey Mysterio died, it said he did.
Wow.
In 2015.
So is this like an Ultimate Warrior thing where
they've
replaced the original Rey Mysterio with a different Rey Mysterio?
And thankfully not. Unfortunately, what it's referring to when you Google it, it refers to a AAA match when someone died when he was in a triple threat match back in 2015 after he left WWE. It refers to the guy he was in the ring with, and someone he was in the ring with died that night. But Google doesn't distinguish those things, so people Google it and they find that thing. I'm like, but he's not.
But
saw it at WrestleMania 2019.
But then that goes to show that wrestling fans are just looking at the headlines and not delving into the article.
This is the problem I'm making for the IWC, is that they're all slandering, like, rape. Some people, not all of them, actually, I know, to be fair, not all. Some people were very respectful, and I'm like, about time. About time Ray got the recognition that he deserves, because getting the front cover of one of the video games, Graham, not just a wrestling game, but like a FIFA or a Madden or something like that, that's big business. That's big. That means you've made it.
Yeah.
I'd like to point out that 1 year, Jordan Henderson was the front of FIFA, which, instead of Mbappe or Messi or Ronaldo, but that's neither here nor there. I have problems with people who can't do their research. And it's not like it's difficult research. You just have to turn Monday Night Raw on and you can see Rey Mysterio. Or you could literally go to YouTube and see he's alive.
Wow. That's the epitome of casual fans.
You're
buying a WWE 2K game and you don't know the cover star is still alive. You are a casual plastic fan.
An additional bad cop moment to that is the normal game is
Don't even get me started on this.
It's about £60-70 in the UK. If you want the NWO version, it's £120.
Yeah, ridiculous. And the stuff that you get with it are not worth that extra £50.
It's not worth it.
No.
It's not worth it, no. I'll wait for it to come on offer as well for that stuff, and I'll just get it when it's on sale.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Or unlock it like everybody else does.
And I just won't buy the game because I haven't bought a WWE game in about 15 years.
I'll get it, Mags, and tell you how good it is, okay? Or bad it is, that matter.
You do that, sir.
So, yeah, that's my bad comment, is that via a wrestling game, I found out that fans are stupid.
Well, from a person whose research or things that he'd read led me to comment in both of the episodes last, that while you were away, Matt, that RVD was promoting non-drug use in schools. I'm probably the least qualified person to talk about this. But
I love that. I mean, he is a high flyer, as they say.
I know. I don't understand. I just don't understand that. I know I saw that somewhere. And that's when I jokingly said, like, did I see it on Kayfabe News or something? And it wasn't Kayfabe News because I did go check that. And I've tried Googling everything. I could not find. I don't know where I saw that. But, hey, Way, way off the mark. Now, my bad cop moment, you've kind of covered half of it already, Darren, which is perfectly okay. It was to do with John Moxley's speech. So obviously the person that came in at the start, right, piece of shit, needed to get out there, and that was taken care of. That part was it as well. It was also the reaction to it on Friday as well. So I have not listened to the podcast. I am not listening to, if I'm just on the 1 minute that I know about, I am not listening to the other 2.5 hours to get to it. But yeah, Bubba Ray, very strange. I only found out about it because I saw Rene had tweeted about it and basically called him out and basically told him what he was. But he was under the impression that John Moxley needed to apologize to, I believe it was AEW and possibly AEW fans as well, for his absence for the last 3 months. Now, he wasn't like off on a jolly or something. He was in rehab. He was making sure his health was where it needed to be for himself, for his family. And as far as I know, all the companies are very supportive of this. You mentioned multiple times, Matt, like Vince out of his own pocket has paid for rehab for people who aren't even in WWE anymore. It could be 20 years down the line.
On that note, I'd like to point out Vince paid for Moxley's rehab as well.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, it just seemed very strange. I've seen multiple wrestlers respond to it since. I saw Mick Foley as well saying, you don't need to apologize to anybody, which obviously is common sense. I did see one interesting thread, which was from Paige, who tweeted out, hey guys, FYI, if you have to take time off to better yourself for very important health reasons, please make sure you apologize to Bubba for the time off. And multiple people went and responded to that tweet, and it was all very sarcastic, and it was all very humorous, and I'm sure he blocked every single person that tagged him in that. He would have a lot of notifications just from that one thread. Just very strange. I know that when you're on those shows, you have to, part of it, you have to be a little controversial. You're trying to get the listens. You've got to come up with something different. And sometimes those controversial views, a la Jim Cornette, are what kind of gets you mentioned on Twitter. And then people might go and check that out. And then they're going to listen to the ad. And then you make more money and stuff. But there's obviously other things you could have talked about. And obviously the situation like that was just, that was poor. We've talked about mental health multiple times. We've had multiple people on this podcast, Matt, talk about addiction and issues with alcohol specifically. I know an indie wrestler right now who we've interviewed on MGB, he's mentioned the fact that he's only 2 weeks into that battle right now, but he stopped drinking, and he said he's feeling a lot better for it as well. And yeah, surely all those people, it's something that you want to support. And my limited knowledge of this is it's not something that, hey, he's done his 3 months, he's good. This can be a lifelong problem. Addiction is a lifelong problem. It's something that you can be tempted back into at multiple times, as we've seen with people like the Hardys, unfortunately. Jeff in particular is somebody who has bounced back and forwards with that. So it's something where you want to continue to be supportive. And just a really strange take from Bubba Ray.
I have so much respect for Bubba Ray, but I lost some of it here.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think he's stuck in a world where it's cool to be an old school heel, and this was an attempt for him to try and maybe get heat or trying to get a bit of infamy for the Busted Open radio show, and it didn't work. Absolutely not. Wrestling fans nowadays are smarter than what Bubba seems to be giving him credit for. The fact that we are as close to knowing so much about these wrestlers that we've ever been. Everybody wanted Mox to be well rather than be wrestling. It's a fact. Nobody wants to watch wrestlers suffer day after day, not just with in-ring injuries, but with their own personal demons. So he has absolutely nothing to apologize for wanting to be a better person. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. And I think Bubba Ray's comments were cold, were very, very much misjudged, and he was absolutely right to be called out on them. It was a bad call by Bubba. A bad call.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Well, you said there was a lot of stuff, so this is a chance where you get to come up with a list as long as you like, as long as you can do it within 90 seconds. So, Darren, what else would you consider a bad cop moment then for this week?
So, firstly, and it's a bad cop moment just because of how sad of a situation it is, Meatloaf passing away, but how cool of a lot of WWE's talents to come out and pay tribute. Except for Shotzi Blackheart, who said something absolutely ridiculous by saying, "Oops, and I had Meatloaf last night for dinner." Really mistimed tweet. Yeah, she deleted it pretty much straight away, but yeah, pretty badly timed tweet. Then there's the whole Gunther thing, and this I want to kind of like throw shade on both on WWE and on the backlash that they got for it. So Gunther was actually going to be called Gunther Stark, which is named after it's the same name. Sorry, it wasn't named after, but it was the same name as a Nazi U-boat commander. Really poor form by WWE not to kind of fact check and make sure that there weren't some very worrying links with that name. But then I also want to call out the RWC for how badly they reacted to the fact he had a name change. At the end of the day, it's just a name. Yes, everybody knows him as Walter, but WWE do this. This is how they have business. They want to make sure that everything about what the new character is their property so that they own it. And I'm from an era where wrestlers had multiple gimmicks. I mean, Rikishi was Fatu, he was the Sultan, and then was Rikishi. It's a ridiculous take to have about just, it's a name at the end of the day.
Let's not forget Jamal and Umaga as well, of course.
The Rock. Very different. He was called Flex Cavana. Exactly. Rocky Maivia, The Rock, Rocky. It's just ridiculous to be so hung up about somebody's name. It doesn't change his moveset. And what it does mean is if he does get released, he can go back to being called Walter, and that name isn't sullied by the WWE. So, yeah, it's a ridiculous take to have.
I apologize, Darren. I forgot Hall of Famers get up to as long as I'd like on the speech moments.
I am not one of those Hall of Famers who come in and abuse their privilege, interrupting other guest shows. I'm not like that. I'm a respectful Hall of Famer. Not mentioning any names. Ryan.
The 2022 class definitely seems stronger than the 2021 class.
Graham, seeing as how Mavs...
I'm not biased at all, having a family member who's in, of course, but...
Well, Graham, then David Carr for 2021, Graham.
You did it so late that it was...
The Carr for 2020, yes. It was the year I did it, so, yeah. Okay.
The year that you announced the awards 2022, then. All right, Matt, what you got? I'm sure you've got a lot to talk about. You normally do. Go ahead.
Okay, first thing out of the blocks is WWE. It's Royal Rumble season. It's the best time of the year. Could be like seeing the returns and surprises. Stop announcing the returns and surprises. I want to do this watch along. I want to have fun. My voice is breaking because of it. Right. Gunther. Yeah, enough said. And also, anyone out there who is in the spotlight because of how famous they are, don't matter if you're a footballer, doesn't matter if you're a music star, doesn't matter if you're a professional wrestler. If you have made yourself the center of attention for the last 30 years and made a big deal about it, when you walk through an airport and somebody wants you to sign an autograph, you fucking do it. End of conversation.
Is that end of a speed check moment as well?
Yeah.
Is that in response to anything at all that you heard on a previous episode of Good Cop, Bad Cop?
Maybe.
Yeah. I thought it sounded
Had an opinion for a while, Graham. If you make yourself some attention, an airport, a public place, deal with it.
He didn't make himself the center of attention. He had to catch a flight. For the last 30 waving his arms around. And
for the last 30 years, he made himself all up me.
Look at me, wrestler on a plane.
He has made himself the center of attention for the last 30 years, Graham. He can deal with it.
He didn't do anything for the 8 years. He stayed totally off social media. He stayed off totally off social media. Well, perhaps not totally off. He didn't do anything at all.
What?
He was really quiet. You didn't get to hear anything about him.
I know you two are blocked by Phil Book, but I'm bizarrely not.
Well,
I should be, but
and
I'm
you
not.
Hate him the most.
Yes! Yeah, I was torn. I was kind of torn with his match against Sean Spears, and obviously wanted to see him win and get to see the go to sleep, and obviously that's so significant. But also at the same time, wanting to see him lose just so Matt would have to refer to him as CM Punk and not Phil Brooks anymore, which he's promised to do.
I'm begging you, John.
Peyton Royce was fuming at that result as well. She called it out as bullshit on
Twitter.
Sean
Spears went to AEW and was promised that he was going to be looked after and he was going to be treated better than WWE.
He's 31-17. That's a much better record than he had at WWE. I'm rounding. I can't remember the exact.
Graham,
about 31.
Winning and losing isn't the thing I'm talking about here. I'm talking about appear on your main show.
Mm-hmm. Times have changed in the 2 years since you've signed.
Yeah, they've signed everybody WWE got rid of since him who were better than him on WWE's roster. Mm-hmm. Did you go back to doing gay porn?
You want them to... Okay, so you seriously just want them to keep an average roster? I heard the comment, but I'm just going to keep talking. You obviously want them just to keep a mediocre roster? You don't want to try and sign people that's going to better the company?
I'm saying if they make a promise...
I know you didn't say that, but that's what you're implying.
If they make a promise, they should keep it. They promised him, they treat him better. They haven't.
They did treat him better than WWE. He has a winning record.
Still?
He has a winning record, yes. It's like 2-1. Oh, sorry, that's mathematical. That's not going to help you. He has 14 more wins than losses, approximately.
Get your speed check already.
All right. Okay, it switched off because yours went on for so long. All right. Would it be so bad if one of the indie people who turns up at the AEW Dark event actually won? Would it be so bad? Like, every time, it's great to see them, but you know they're not winning. Like, I think Red Velvet could have one loss and it not really dethrone her progress in any way, shape, or form. I would like to see one of the indie talents win, particularly for the locals who know those people are. I think it would be big to do that. I want to talk about the Gunther thing as well. I heard one person that didn't like it because it reminded them of the character from Friends. And it kind of reminded me at the same time that it seems like it's almost the same storyline. I don't know if you remember, Joey was trying to come up with an actor name. So he's like, I can't use Joey. I'm going to go with Joseph. And then Joseph they try and last name. And then Chandler sarcastically suggests Stalin. And he's like, oh, that's good. And then he has to come back and he's like, apparently there's this person already called Joseph. So it kind of reminded me of that as well, which I thought was kind of funny. And the fact that neither of them had a clue what was actually going on. But the other reason I don't like it as well, I'm a big fan of Jim Jefferies, the comedian. And he tells a story of when he went to the circus and there was this big elephant and they get him under control by going down Gunther or up Gunther. I can't remember which one it is. I think it's up Gunther. And anyway, his brother used the same word when he described his mother. So the mother was giving him some grief and he was like, down Gunther or up Gunther. And then she got chased around. He got belted around the head. But yeah, whenever I think of Gunther, I think of Friends, but I also think of that Jim Jefferies story. So now, Walter, please. You saved me some time. I didn't have to mention the Nazi stuff because you'd already covered that, so that was good. Gave me a little bit of extra time in there.
It's such a misstep by WWE. I mean, it reminds me of, I'm sure you guys have heard the story, when Scott Hall first signed with the WWF and Vince McMahon asked him to pitch a character, and he essentially did Tony Montana from Scarface, and Vince had never heard of it, and he was like, oh my god, this might be the best thing I've ever seen. It kind of reminds me of that somebody's pitched, yeah, what if he was called Gunther Stark and he was a Nazi newborn commander, and Vince is like, oh my god, that's brilliant, yes, he's now called Gunther.
I don't understand it, because he is still appearing on NXT. It's not like if he was debuting on Raw and he suddenly appeared as Gunther, like I could kind of be, I was like, okay, he's moving, they're trying to show it.
Worse than that though, Graham, because all the way through the show, he was called Volta. In every time they linked to the match, it was Volta versus Roderick Strong. The only time he mentioned being called Gunther was when Volta won the match and said the winner of this match is Gunther. So that's where the name change came. Yeah, it's absolutely bizarre.
I agree about the bizarre thing, but I have to say, Graham, we have to at least get on board with the fact he's now called Gunther, not Gunther. They're two very different words. That doesn't make what they're calling you Graham and Graham. Okay. Gotcha. Two different things. I have to agree slightly with you about the whole...
That was so easy to tell from just reading tweets. Okay, all right.
Anyway, it would be... Magnus would call him Gunther several times, and you're still calling it the wrong thing.
You no. say Asker as well all the time, and I ignore you when you say that, and I'm Oscar. Still saying Oscar.
Oscar.
You say Asker, unless you've suddenly changed it.
Is it not Asker?
Not in America, it's not. I think it must be a British.
Well, anyway, I'm agreeing with one of your points, Graham, you made about...
I know, is your hand still up for a reason? I'm just
yes,
wondering.
Yes, fine. I'm agreeing with a point you made about couldn't one that every now and again some indie talent actually win on AEW. Mainly because if you're going to bring him in, let him win a match or two, because otherwise what's the point of letting all the other people who you're actually paying to be on a regular basis not turn up on TV? You're paying for them to sit in catering while you're paying for indie talent, which I appreciate. Don't get me wrong, I appreciate indie talent, but why do you need the...
Oh, wow.
I've been waiting for my time. I don't know if he's realised yet.
He's now been the child that he is. Just
I can't even see if he noticed. All right, I don't even know if I can unmute him. I think he has to unmute himself. I'm so glad I can't see the middle finger though right now.
No, he's just sat there, just straight faced.
Is it done?
Do you know, like a petulant child.
I did let him get the main part of his point out. I'm not going to interrupt him mid-sentence, but once it goes to something else, I'll mute. I had to get him back for earlier. All right, let's move on to some fan cut moments.
Good. Hey, Maxi, do you think people listening to this show like wrestling podcasts?
I would hope that they do, because they're listening to one.
Do you think they would like our wrestling podcast?
Well, if you could call it a wrestling podcast, because we cover the gamut of topics. We have food takes, we talk about movies, and we intertwine that with watching a little bit of the cool wrestling.
We do indeed. This is Cy and Max from the Chain Wrestling Podcast. You can find us at Chain_Wrestling on Twitter. Quite proud of our little show that we do. It seems to make a few people giggle. So if you're interested in listening to two silly plonkers ramble on about some old wrestling and then maybe have a little vote in a poll to decide where we go next, why don't you give us a try? What do you reckon, Max?
Yeah, if that sounds like your cup of tea, go and check out our content.
There we go. I think that'll do, Maxie, won't it?
Really?
Yeah.
Same. See, look at that. We can ad lib and everything.
Good. Bad.
All right. This is a segment of the show where we get to find out what our fans were thinking about this week. I certainly saw that we were definitely on the same wavelength with some of these, and also we like it when it fills in some of the gaps. Obviously, we can't talk about every story, so we get to see some of the ones as well. I'm going to start with High Five Tom. His great cop moment was been a week, so going with low hanging fruit, and the great cop is just wrestling in general. And what an effing time to be a fan. And hashtag bad cop, people not taking in the platinum age of wrestling and just enjoying. Matt, have you managed to figure out how to work your phone?
Yes, because I use a phone, not two different devices at the same time. Well, I can use multiple devices if you want me to, it's not a problem. Okay, I'm going to go to BFRJCB, obviously our good friend Jason Cornelius Bell, I'm some band from Ringside, has a good cop moment.
Terminus. I thought he muted himself for a second.
What?
I thought you'd muted yourself for a second. Perhaps no. It was just my question.
Terminus show. Ring of Honor 5 causing havoc and impact. Watching more Noah this week. Think that's going into the rotation. That's moments, just saying. Just moments. Backup moment. Andrade HFO. Cody's promo. Ali's release being denied. That's a good point, actually. I meant to bring that up. I'm a little bit confused why I denied it. And Volta's name change. Graham, you've asked how you watch Noah, and
I read.
And High Five Tom has not replied.
I have seen responses. JCB responded to me. I was curious. I didn't want to see. I've been trying to, you know, I keep trying to get into Japanese wrestling. I think with Ninja Mac, once he debuts over there, that might be the final push. Ninja Mac was actually good enough to retweet that. Quote that, and he actually gave information as well. So, once I know that he's in there, I will try and make an effort to watch, subscribe, even if it's just for a month, just to see how it goes.
Ninja Mac needs to buy a major company immediately.
He's a talent for sure. Kind of a short one here. Cherry Jerry, best cop moment, John Moxley, and worst cop moment, mid-card Balor.
Maybe so, but Balor is making Austin feel like a boss, so that's good. And I hope Balor limits him from the Rumble match.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Just In Time 2-1. Best cop moment, Moxley return. Worst cop moment, Cody's god-awful promo. Unsure cop, how should we react to Volta's name change? Mm-hmm. People are pulling on Cody. I need to touch it because I need a fans would.
Mm-hmm. I think I meant to send you the picture, and I don't think I did in the end. I saw it. I was like, oh, good, Cody's here.
You did.
Oh, okay, good.
Twice. Good.
I thought I might have forgotten to do it. Phew.
You sent it twice, so thanks for that.
Better safe than sorry, right? Dan Griffin, good cop moment. 2022 starts with 3 consecutive WWE pay-per-views on Saturdays, including Mania Night 1. Bad cop moment, all the needless IWC BS surrounding Rey Mysterio on the cover of 2K22. And the sad cop moment, the passing of Meatloaf and the fact he never got his song with /for Orton.
Slight correction there. It's 4 promos. It's 4 pay-per-views in a row on Saturday mornings, on Saturdays.
Okay, I am just reading what it says, but thank
absolutely,
you.
Absolutely, yeah, because it's day one, they Royal Rumble, the
hold WrestleMania on, surely chamber. Night 2 is a Sunday.
No, night
oh,
one.
Oh, he missed one before that.
Day one, obviously was on Saturday, Rumble, and WrestleMania chamber in Saudi Arabia is on a Saturday, and then you've got, yeah, it is a pay-per-view technically,
Yeah, and it's canon as well.
Yeah, and it's the build to WrestleMania, which is night one on Saturday. So the first 4
also, you can't skip it then either, Matt, if it's a pay per view, because you've got your consecutive streak of WWE pay per views.
I will watch it under protest. I'll watch it.
Okay.
At UTT Rob, good cop moment finding out that Volta Gunter used to wrestle as a Garchomp and had green hair. So isn't the worst name he's ever had.
I mean, it's pretty brutal how he looks, though.
Mm-hmm. Bad cop moment, WWE's employment practices, i.e. the ongoing releases and keep. Yes, as in the fact that Ali was not released. You're not going to release him, push him. Simple.
Yeah.
WTF cop. WWE spoiling all the surprises and returns for the Royal Rumble. Yep, mm-hmm. I've mentioned that already. Yeah.
Yep, I agree with that one. Bishop at TW Takes. Oops, I just clicked something I wasn't supposed to. Best cop moment, Finn Balor using his star power and in-ring acumen. Oh, gosh, we got some big words on this one here. To help Austin Theory succeed on the main roster. And his worst cop moment, I just took off work because it was supposed to snow. Then they cancelled school and it didn't snow. And yeah, I had Thursday off as well. We had a virtual day because it looked like we were going to get snow. And it went from 2 to 3 inches to 1.5 inches to 1/10 of an inch to nothing. But better safe than sorry with cases like that. We've had incidences before when it looked like nothing and then they tried to take the school in and then buses have crashed. And yeah, so better safe than sorry. They build in
some
things like
1/10 of an inch.
We didn't get anything, so in the end.
2.5 millimeters.
Oh, sorry, I gave fractions again. I forgot to.
I can work with that. I can work with that. I'm just thinking, like, they called a snow day for that.
They didn't call it for that, but it was originally supposed to happen between. Snow was supposed to fall between 5 a.m. and 11 a.m. So it would have been at the exact time when buses would have been picking students up. High school starts much earlier in the States than it does.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. But while I was in Florida, it was like -12 in New York City, and you still go to school.
Okay. You realize there's differences in geography. So New York is well known for having snow, so they're much more able to deal with it. And so similar thing in England. When you should know this from experience. Britain obviously doesn't have massive amounts of snow, but once you do, even if it's only 2 or 3 inches, the whole country is a total mess.
Yeah, and look at what happened in Texas last year. That was totally not set up for snow at all, and it crippled pretty much the whole state.
Yeah.
That was funny because it affected Tanner.
That's mean.
Yeah, certain states are set up for it better than other states. And if you're one of those states that's not, then... it was just you couldn't tell exactly when it was going to come through. Obviously, weather, you can't predict it exactly. It can go slightly to one side. And actually, there were probably only about 100 miles from us, there were places that did get snow. And they did have heavy ice as well. So you couldn't call it exactly. So as always with things like this, you are on the side of caution. And that's exactly what they did. Matt, unless you see any others, I think that was the last one.
That's it.
All right. Once again, thank you, everyone, for filling in those gaps that we missed. I think we were pretty much on the same wavelength with quite a few of those moments that we talked about there. So I think we did pretty good this week. Keep an eye out next week. It'll probably be around Friday again. And I propose we move on to the open agenda round. Hall of Famers don't even get notes sent anymore. It's just like, hey, are you available? It's like, yes, I'm available. So we didn't even remind you about this one. If there is anything else that is on your mind, Darren, that you would like to talk about, that is, it can be non-wrestling related. If you want to talk more wrestling, that's fine as well. Considering it was a bad cop week, probably not. But anything else that is on your mind that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, I think we should. I mean, it's been mentioned in the show. I just mentioned it now in the fan cop moments. But... The whole stuff with Mustafa Ali, it's really puts a black eye on WWE's recent practice of releasing talent for me. Like Matt said, if you're not going to release him, use him. This is a guy who is in the prime of his wrestling career and could easily be a star no matter where he went. Got saddled with horrific gimmicks in WWE. The whole retribution stuff was terrible. And then you hear reports that Vince wanted him to be a terrorist, which that went down really well last time. If we all remember the Muhammad Hassan nonsense. Apparently him and Vince had a stand-up argument about it. He asked for his release. You would think in the era that WWE are in, where people are essentially walking out of the company, I mean, look at Jeff Hardy, look at Tony Storm, you would think that they would release Mustafa Ali. The last thing you need is somebody who is unhappy in your company. But instead, they denied his release. What's he going to do? Sit back in catering again. As Matt said, if you're not going to release him, push him, give him some good storylines to work with, because he's just one of the most talented wrestlers in the world, and it's an absolute waste to have somebody like him to just sit there and do nothing with him. It's annoying knowing how easily WWE were releasing multiple wrestlers. And one that actually does want to go, and wrestle for another company, can't leave. It's a ridiculous kind of mindset to have. And it kind of just shows that the releases weren't for budget cuts, because if a wrestler wants to go, you would assume that Mustafa Ali's got a pretty decent pay coming from the WWE. That'd be a perfect time to have a budget cut. So it's quite clear they are not budget cut releases. It's just a shame for him, because he's such a talented wrestler.
I would think that he's probably one of the main reasons that Jackson kind of bought into wrestling. When we were watching 205 Live, that was the first time he'd ever seen. I always called it the 450, and I think I was corrected. It was the 540. But we saw him do that onto another wrestler through a table, and 4-year-old eyes have never been bigger. And it was, can we watch that again? Like, rewind, play. Obviously a great talent, but it's same sort of thing though. I put him on same similar par with like Ricochet. Like, he just seems hopelessly booked. An amazing talent, and you just don't seem to be getting the most out of his potential. Like, when you talk about teachers, the thing you're always trying to do is, not every student can have an A, we understand that, but you're trying to get the most out of each student that you can get. get them to reach their individual potentials. And you just don't feel that like that's happening with those particular wrestlers. Now, I did actually go back and watch a lot of Mustafa Ali's work on the indies. I think it was, it's one of those Chicago brands. I believe it's Freelance Pro Wrestling. And I think it was on Powerbomb. I think they had like, you can watch like all of his matches together in one place. So I was like, oh, so I started watching a couple and it's like, oh my gosh, what a talent. Yeah, I wouldn't be much happier. And it sounds like he would be much happier if he can get back on the indies. There's obviously a thriving independent wrestling scene in not just Chicago, but along Indiana as well. That whole area up there, there's a lot of different companies. You can wrestle week in, week out, probably three times a week, every week of the month, and you can definitely make a good living from that. And obviously, as a former WWE star, if he gets released, he'd be able to do that. But yeah, I would much rather see him back on the indies wrestling than in the position that he is right now, for sure.
Absolutely. I have nothing further to add, Graham, because everything that you and Magnus said have been spot on.
Wow, this is going to go down in history. I agreed with Matt at one point, and you just agreed with me at one point as well. Wow, we really are good. I think Bad Cop's taking a back seat this week. This is
this is what happens when you get sensible Hall of Famers on the show instead of instead of idiots.
You're a calming influence as well. Yeah, he's a provocateur, is that the word? I can't even say it properly. But yeah, he riles us up, that's for sure. Brings out the worst in all of us, yeah.
He's an instigator. Yeah.
There you go. That's exactly what it is. All right. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's time to get to my favorite segment of the week. Unless I've missed anything, Matt. I think it's Devil's Advocate time, right?
Let's do this.
Good. Bad.
Good cops, here we go. The Terrible Wrestling Takes podcast is your place for honest commentary about what is on TV, not fantasy booked or what company is pushing who or why I don't like it because it's not what I want. As many shoutouts as I get, it's still best to hear it from the bad cop himself, me, Bishop. Head on over to twtakespodcast.com and subscribe to your favorite podcast platform. I'm everywhere from Spotify to Amazon Music, even obscure places like Overcast. So feel free to send your takes to @twtakespodcast on Twitter or bishoptwtakes@gmail.com. Now back to Graham yelling at Matt for something he hasn't done yet, but no worries. I'll let you know who has the real terrible wrestling takes.
Well, I'm glad you're back, Matt. I had to improvise the last couple of weeks, given all the instructions. I did manage to get Ryan not to speak for 20 seconds, which I'm counting as a win. I was very proud of that moment. I'm sure you heard that.
A win.
I'm going to let you go ahead and do the introduction, sir.
Sisters, brothers, and non-binary others, welcome to the Good Cop, Bad Cop Wrestling Podcast, episode 179, Devil's Advocate Round. This is where myself, Graham, and a very self-respecting Hall of Famer called Mags will be throwing Devil's Advocates at each other for 20 seconds. We do not agree with what we are saying. However, if you have a problem with it, please take it up with our official lawyer, not a guest, or our official permanent lawyer at Dying Format.
I apologize for the little delay there. I did want to do something. I saw you already saw this, Darren, on Twitter. At Nish Guy, first ever guest to be on at Good Bad Wrestle on three consecutive shows, suck it at Podfather Mags. And there's already a little bit of a thread going there as well. So not only did he come on the show, he's went straight to social media to continue this as well. I don't think this is the end of this.
He's uncouth.
Okay, so Mags, as you are the guest this week, you get to choose. Do you want to deliver or receive one first?
Oh, I'm a receiver. I'm not a giver. I'm a receiver.
Then, with that typical schoolboy humour in mind, do you want to take it from me or Graham?
Well, I feel yours will be easier to take, so I'll take yours first.
Okay, mine was a little bit out there, to be fair, so bear with me, okay? Inspired by Volta's name change, from now on, you can call me Clarence.
Well, inspired by Volta's name change, I'm not even going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about Ryan. I think, Ryan, you are a massive, massive douchebag. The Blade Job Show went away because it was a terrible podcast and nobody liked it. The only people who listened were the people who we'd have on as guests. Yeah, so go away. Don't come back on the show. Nobody likes you. Have a shave.
That's one of my favourite defences of all time.
I will say that...
Stick to the point. I'm actually quite impressed with myself.
I will say that the other one I was going to throw at you was the idea that Jericho is going to win the Rumble proves that I need to sack Sai from chain wrestling. So, because he genuinely thinks it's going to happen.
It's not. Jericho's not going to be in the Royal Rumble.
He genuinely believes Jericho is going to win the Rumble and main event Mania with Triple H.
Okay, so to then to piggyback off of Jericho's new catchphrase, Sai can just GFY.
I thought that was amusing. I didn't heard him say that before. I don't know if that was the first time he said it this week.
He's applied for the trademark for it.
Yeah. Ah, okay. But considering obviously what Moxley had said earlier, I thought it was like a bit of a contrast between the two, but obviously different circumstances as well.
Go on then, Max.
Okay. So with the news of Finn Balor basically being now classed as mid, I think we should say that Austin Theory is a better wrestler than Finn Balor.
Austin Theory as a wrestler has certain moves that Finn Balor just can't perform. Austin Theory is also very much in the McMahon camp, as it were. Finn Balor's never been there. He's always been the short guy. He's never been someone that McMahon's appreciated. So in terms of that, Austin Theory is certainly the better wrestler. He has a better episode.
He defended it for 19 and a half seconds, but he had to make sure he got that in right at the end.
I defended the better wrestler part. Nothing about abs.
You did. All right. Well, it's interesting Darren's comment that he thinks yours is going to be the easier, because as I just scroll down through my notes, I don't actually have one for Darren, so this is literally within the last... So I'm glad you did pick Matt, because it gave me an additional 40 seconds to actually think of one. So your devil's advocate from me, then, is my only problem with the person that shouted out at Jon Moxley at the start of the event was that he didn't go further.
And just like I did with Matt's, I am not going to focus on your topic whatsoever. I'm going to focus on The 7. Hashtag The 7, one of the best clicks in professional wrestling fandom, apart from one person, Ryan. He's a massive, massive dickbag. I wish he weren't part of it. He was the worst part of the Blade job, and God love John Orland.
Yes!
I did enjoy, with his presence the last 2 weeks, though, getting regular updates on Jay White, though. That was something that I had missed. It's always good to know where Jay White stands.
Graham, I've got something in my notes here. I need to refer to my notes here. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Something ahead of my notes. Sorry. Jay White, bag of dicks. Okay.
Ah, okay. So no change then from last week, but always good to know. Always good to know.
Yeah.
I actually thought that when he came in, he might actually mention that, but he must have forgotten.
That'll be his ending music. You know how at the start of stuff, it has stuff like a countdown sort of thing. It's just going to say, Jay White's a bag of dicks, and then music will hit. That's what I imagine one day.
All right. What you got for me, Darren?
Okay. So to play off your amazing weekend going to watch wrestling and some of the great things that happened to you, the very worst thing that can happen in wrestling is to make physical contact with CM Punk.
Well, absolutely. Obviously, you've got to be sensible. I talked about in my speed check that you've got to concern yourself with safety. In the times that we're in right now, why would you spend 2 years protecting yourself from COVID and then suddenly put yourself in a position where, after all that time, you could do it something as simple as that? So, no, absolutely. Or at least, at the very least, make sure you've got hand sanitizer around there. So, yeah, just avoid the wrestlers. They're dirty.
Just picture you've got hand sanitizer. Brilliant. Just imagine straight away 500 people like, oh, he's touched me. Unclean.
I guess that's why some people chose to get a selfie with him. That could have been the reason. Yeah. I guess it's between me and you then, Matt. I'm going to give you the choice since you've been away.
I'll receive.
You'll receive. All right, let's have a look. I honestly do not remember what yours is. I just saw the gap next to Darren's name and I was like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. You just want to check, you did watch Raw this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's all right then. That will make some sense then. All right, your devil's advocate from me then is, with my well-known... Blah, blah. Let me try again. with my well-known love of maths, and in particular things like the square root of -1, I am particularly disappointed in her word association segment that Alexa didn't say numbers in response to imaginary.
This is the thing, you see. Alexa Bliss, the whole thing that the segment is doing is great, but I want to see more math brought in general. Look at back when Shane Douglas was brought in, way back in the 90s from ECW. He was brought in and he was a dean. He was doing maths on a short program. You'd have loved it.
Oh, perfect for time. Yeah, no rust, no ring rust there at all. Very good.
Indeed. I just
didn't know if you understood it, but I knew you'd try and defend it regardless.
I got it, and just about. Anyway, unfortunately, Graham, my devil's advocate for you is actually a little bit similar to Mags's, unfortunately, so I apologise. You know what?
I had a feeling that it might be. I had a little psychic vibe that was very possible this week.
And I will preface again by saying this, okay? This is a ridiculous statement we do not believe.
God. Okay.
I need to for what I'm about to say. Screw COVID-19. I'm never washing my hand again.
You know what? It's kind of ironic. That thought kind of did go through my head. I was actually going to post that with the video. I was like, I should post that. I think a similar thought went through once. Actually, I said to Mason as well, when he got, I think he got a hug from Kylie Rae and she was a little bit sweaty. And it was the same sort of thing like, yeah, you should never wash yourself again. No, COVID, we're done with it. It's 2 years. No one's wearing masks anymore anyway over here. So forget it.
You went over.
We're actually, our school, our governor in Virginia has now decided that the mask mandate in schools can go. So effective as of Monday, in theory, that could happen. The only problem was he didn't follow the law, and the rules are it actually has to go in effect until the end of this school year at the earliest. And we already have on the comment boards over here, my son will not be wearing mask in school on Monday, and I don't care if there's going to be fireworks. So. We're going to be having some interesting talks within school, and we'll see what happens. But yeah, for all purposes, I think a certain group of the population over here are going to basically not follow any COVID protocols at all. So,
well, these ones haven't been doing it in big gravity anyway, so don't worry about it.
I think I heard in England, didn't I hear that as well? There's no masks in schools now, or it's coming up, or I just totally missed it.
It's not compulsory. You may, if you wish to wear one, you can still wear one, but it's no longer compulsory.
And it's the same rules. Basically, it's the same then as what the Virginia governor's putting in. But,
and
yeah.
they're also contemplating having no isolation time if you get infected as well.
Yeah.
They're contemplating that, but I think that might be a few months away still.
Yeah, it's interesting times ahead for sure. It's amazing how much, we talk about wrestling, we always end up with COVID talk at the end of there. All right,
not much longer, hopefully.
Oh, Darren, thank you so much for stepping in last minute with our guest and not being able to appear. We know Hall of Famers can always step in on a moment's notice and do a stellar job, as you always. Go ahead, promote anything you like. I know that you've got a lot, so you probably won't want to promote them all, but as anything or as much as you'd like to promote, feel welcome to do so.
First of all, it's always a pleasure to come on. I don't come on often enough, quite clearly, if people are catching up with my long-standing records. So we'll have to make sure that changes. But yeah, I always appreciate coming on the show. I absolutely love it and think you're some of the best content creators that the wrestling community have got. In terms of me, just follow me on Twitter. You'll find links to all of my content. I cover wrestling, football, MMA. Yeah, just I'm all over the show. So follow me on Twitter at PopfatherMags, and you'll find links there to everything that I create.
I did talk with Matt. We're at episode 179 now. I did talk about possibly for episode 200, if we could have all the Hall of Famers together on one episode, that might be kind of cool. If things have died down within the next 21 episodes.
That's between you and him, Graham. I don't know what you've done.
Ryan gets his shit together, I may allow it.
Seriously, I go away for 2 weeks and the whole world burns down. What have I done? What has happened? What have you done? We'll be back next week, guys, okay? With another amazing guest. Graham, we're out of here.
Boom.
Music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at Computech. Comicbookmarks.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/